This meeting is a public proceeding and is being recorded. The agenda is subject to change without notice. Would you join me in pledging allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, Matt, you are on.
I'm on?
You are on.
All right, fantastic. Come on.
Sure.
Couple handouts for you.
Is what it is.
So through discussions with the fire commission, we presented five items for consideration to be purchased with ARPA funds. In the recent month or so, in recent months, the town of Dayton approved three of the five items to be purchased. Their 50% match of what would be the capital equipment stuff for the fire department. Those three things were the self-contained breathing apparatus, the self-contained breathing apparatus fill station and compressor, and the port-a-comp fit test machine. Currently, they've approved $111,550 to make those three purchases. So that 111 is 50% from Dayton, and then it would be another 111, 50% from Lyman to be able to make those three purchases. The big reason why those three items have hit the radar and why we're working on them is the two handouts I gave you. Those are all items, those three items are planned to be purchased within the next 5 years out of our capital equipment fund. The spreadsheet that you see that has a handful of red at the bottom and the green boxes, that's our current plan with everything that we want to do added into the plan, which includes the other two items, the power load for the ambulance and the mechanical CPR devices. So if we were to stay on this plan and add those two items into the plan, we're okay for the first 3 years, and then we dip heavily into the red after the purchase of the SCBAs, which the cylinders expire in March of 2025. So prior to March of 2025, we have to replace the cylinders. And then if we march out the rest of the plan, we get back to being okay. But then in 15 years, when those cylinders are due again, it'll be 2039, we're back dipping in the red. With the ARPA funds being used to make these purchases, and the way I've done this plan is consistent with the way Dayton's already voted. So the purchases are for the SCBAs, the SCBA compressor, and the fit test machine. We stay well into the black at $32,000, funding that account at $32,000 total, so that's 16 a town. And we stay in the black well into the purchase of the air pack replacements out in 2022, 2023. the one thing that this spreadsheet, go ahead.
Did you mean 2032, 2033, so?
I did, sorry.
Okay. The
one thing that this spreadsheet has never been good at, and what kind of puts us in a little bit of a position that we're in now, is accounting for inflation. So we've got a great 15-year plan here, but the $186,000 in 2033, if you add 15 years of inflation to that, that's today's price. What's it going to be in 15 years? Right? So this spreadsheet doesn't take a good account for that, but I think the buffer in the last box on the bottom right of $74,000 in that account could hopefully take care of the majority of the inflation over those 15 years. That's the hope and pray.
That averages about 3-4% versus 6.5% or whatever we got now.
Right, so I'll be told 7% January 1 for most of the vendors I deal with, and the typical inflation would be 3-5%. So that's kind of the spreadsheet, and like I said, Dayton's voted for and approved the three items. I know I've talked a little bit with the fire commission over there and Jared, and over at Dayton, Jared Kerman. His suggestion, if you folks wanted to do more than those three, was to vote and motion it separately. Because according to Jared, Dayton's not solidified with the rest of their funds yet. So there may be an opportunity for them to continue to match out of ARPA. What they haven't voted, the others that they haven't voted yet.
So in the next 3 years, if we do this now, there was a dollar figure that we would actually be saving in the next 3 years. And that was how much?
So roughly $40,000, $45,000 by doing it now, and that's the projected inflation between now and 3 years from now. I will say I'm guaranteed a 7% increase on the $170,000 for the SCBA's the end of February.
Is that savings divided by two?
So that savings would divide by two.
You guys understand on the second part of that, for the stretcher update, what that would do?
Yeah. Okay. I have a question.
I don't know if you've seen the new one, new hookup or not, for the ambulance, for the stretcher. Have you seen that?
I haven't been, they haven't picked me up.
Tonight, they need it tonight. I tried
it's, a it's a very slick
we
system.
All do.
Very yeah. The antler system inside the truck is on a trolley and it slides out. So from the back of the truck, there's no lifting of the stretcher. It's all hydraulic, electric, yeah. And battery. Yeah. The other good thing about that system is our stretchers right now are hydraulic stretchers, but they run on battery. So if the battery fails, then not only are we lifting the patient, moving the patient, but we've got to overcome the hydraulic power that the stretcher already has to move it manually. The new ambulance with the system that's in it charges the battery for us.
Do you have any kind of, and this really doesn't matter, but do you have any kind of statistic that shows the injury that you guys might receive by lifting that into the ambulance?
I don't know that I have a statistic off the top of my head, but I have a case scenario that happened within the last month. The backline ambulance, battery goes dead in the stretcher. The crew comes from home to go to a second emergency, go to the emergency, load the patient on the stretcher, and again, because of the hydraulic power that they have to overcome, four of them are lifting the stretcher because the battery's dead, and one hurts a back. So, again, 14 days out of
workforce with that.
How many times a year do you get people you just plain can't load with two people?
Oh, 30 to 40% of our calls?
Yeah.
Quite a bit?
That's what I thought.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe even higher?
One of them was today. We had three calls today, right? Four calls today, and one of them you couldn't?
Yeah, I saw that.
Absolutely.
Needed help.
So, Bill, can you explain, please, why we can spend this money, why this board can approve it?
Well, that was a question that we wanted to ask the state on the expenditure of the ARPA funds, and we have a letter here from them. Mr. Goldberg, I believe it was, Neil Goldberg, saying that the equipment that we asked about from the fire department would all be eligible and covered under the ARPA funds to expend the funds on that. That would be acceptable.
It would be acceptable per this letter, but you didn't answer my question. Why this board can just approve it?
Well, the responsibility of the ARPA fund expenditures is left to the town and the selectmen represent the town. No more questions. We'll get back to this again later on the agenda.
One more question.
Sure.
Per the Dayton agreement, we'd have to match these funds anyway, correct? Or with this money?
We each get a vote. We could vote it down, but they have approved it for their portion of it, as long as we approve.
Yeah, I didn't say contingent upon us approving it.
Yeah, typically anytime anything with the fire department happens, both towns have to say yes. If one says no, it doesn't apply.
Okay. So if Dayton didn't have the funds right now for their share of the stretcher and the other device,
the mechanical
CPR, are there funds that you could draw on for that?
There is money in the equipment capital plan that's been funded over the years that has to be released by the select boards. So it's whether they use ARPA money, there is that other fund that they could use. They would have to vote on using that as well.
And the price of those two is the Lucas?
Yeah, the Lucas.
Is the CPR?
Is the mechanical CPR, yes.
Okay.
And that's currently $17,600, but they're expecting a little bit of inflation after the first of the year, so.
Okay.
I didn't have a firm quote with the inflation, so I put in a 20.
And the other?
Is the power load system.
What is that?
Again, that is. If you go to the smaller print one,
yeah,
it's 56086. Today,
and we would be responsible for half.
Power.
And that's with some inflation on that number as well. From what the last quote I got was $52,300, I believe. So I put a little bit of inflation. Mm-hmm. On that number, thinking we wouldn't purchase it till after that goes in effect.
John, you all set?
Yep.
Dave, you all set?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate that. Okay, we're going to the public input part of our meeting, so the public can have 5 minutes to pontificate on your favorite subject. Brad.
I'm wondering if we could put on our website another blob about pushing snow across the road being illegal.
Already?
Oh, yeah.
Same ones as last year?
Totally different people.
Really?
I haven't been on this side of town, so I can't answer that, but I see what's happening on that side of town. And it's ones that I've never seen before.
Same ones on Clarksville, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't see as that's a problem.
So if we could put that in bold print somehow, you know, like on neon. Do you have wording
on that or a piece of the law?
I think it's a standard wording. I think we already have a memo on that, actually, that was put on before, but I think it needs to be brought right to the front page again.
Okay.
I have a question regarding that. So we have people call in and say, my neighbor's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Who do we refer them to?
The full-time office manager.
What's that? The one. I mean, no. Should we be in contact? Go through Donna to contact Paul?
It would go through Donna, yes.
Okay. I just want to know the chain of command. Yes. I don't want to send it someplace else.
And Donna, you know who to call, right?
Sure.
Ghostbusters.
Right.
Okay.
And I know who to call. Chain of command.
No, I just didn't know if you wanted us calling him directly or what you want us to do. That's all I'm asking.
Yep, you can give it to Donna. Donna will contact you.
Because I think we ought to try to nip it in the bud right off the bat before we get crazy.
I agree.
The plow drivers haven't said anything yet. So when they start complaining, that's when the damage is done. The snowbanks get frozen. They can't be moved and such. So it'd be good to get that put in. Even if we have to post it for a while, just so people keep seeing it. And also the branches have been trimmed at Pennybunk Pond for the power. So that's all done on that tree.
Okay.
Yes. I have something I'd like to bring up. I sent you all an email about the time that Brendan wanted our computers at the counter, or wherever, I don't know, to be, you know, so we just have to stop doing what we were doing and go and do something, come back, and it's closed out already, so we have to put the password in all over again. The problem we're having right now is that sometimes what we did is gone. I spoke to him about that today. He said he tested something. I said, well, good for you. But you're not always here doing things. And it's just like, so we have to put things in manually. And he says, well, why do you need to be away from the counter? We have to call for support, Bureau of Motor Vehicle. We have to call Harris Computer. We have to call it. The veterinary clinic, and those things can all take more than 5 minutes. I don't want to have to worry about going up there, jiggling the handle so I don't lose everything I've processed or everything I've begun to process. I just ask that it's 10 minutes maybe instead of just the 5 minutes. I don't know what 5 minutes more is hurting. He seems to think that people are going to get in there and do something nefarious, and I'm like, okay. I get we need more security, I get all that, but I just don't see what, you know, having 5 minutes, having it 10 minutes before everything kind of goes blank and we have to go back in with our password. That's all I'm asking, just 10 minutes instead of the 5. And I think it has to come from you guys, because he seems to think it's just 5 minutes. That's what.
Are your screens able to be seen by the public standing out there? Can they look?
Honestly, I guess, yes, absolutely. They have been for 15 years. Yeah. And I don't know what they're, we often have to show them what's on there. They like to be able to see, okay, yeah, that is the right information. Or if we're doing a transfer analysis, yes, this is what it is, and we can print it out or whatever. There's nothing private that somebody standing over there is going to see that can be damaged or anything like that. I mean, I did ask him, I said, can you tell me one town that's had trouble? And he said, it happens everywhere. Well, that's not one town. I kind of like to know an instance if that's, you know, if it needs to be that 5 minutes. I don't see the reason why it needs to be 5 minutes.
Does your screen go into hibernate? Is that what happens?
It goes into hibernate.
And it won't wake back up if you touch a key?
sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. We're having a lot of trouble with this whole new trio thing to begin with. I'm processing a dog registration today, and then one other thing, a snowmobile registration. Could not get it to continue to do a car registration, so I had to close out all that, cash them out of that, and then go back in. It's just very frustrating. This 2 week, it's taking time to get used to this, but there are little things that are like happening weird with this new trio web situation. So I'm just asking, maybe just let, if we don't, I don't want, it's one more thing, one less thing to worry about. There we go. One less thing to worry about.
We can chat about it, see what you want to do. We have to check on it, see what's up.
Okay, when are you going to check on? What do you need to check on?
I'm going to talk with Brendan and see what's going on.
Okay, okay.
I talked with him today, and
right.
He said that
that
function is for the screensaver to turn on so that people could not look at the screen.
Okay.
And nobody else could use it. If somebody walked in, hit the space bar, it's going to ask for a password for the user to get back in, or it will not let them process anything.
Right.
It's definitely a safety issue.
And I guess I just need to know what town has had that issue where somebody's come behind the counter and gone on and hit a space bar to see whatever they're seeing. That's my issue.
I get it, because I have it at work also.
Thank
it's
you.
Very aggravating. Log back in, do your password, especially when you're doing something like that. That's why I was asking about the screens, and they do have those privacy screens where it blurs it, and somebody's seeing it from the side. It's not a problem.
I mean, we can't change where our screens are.
Right.
There is, it's the most, the least ergonomically correct thing. I don't know how I don't have a broken neck now. So I'm already twisted like this when I'm doing things. So we can't put the screen in front of us so nobody can see it. The keyboard's over here, so nobody can reach through. I don't know. I just don't see why adding 5 more minutes that I don't have to worry about that one particular thing is what I'm asking.
On your computer, do you do cash receiving?
Of course I do cash receiving.
So if you were to leave the office and it was logged in, somebody could play around with the cash receipts, right?
Who would come in and play around with cash? I'm just saying, I get what you're saying, but I think it's just a little over the top, perhaps, to me. I mean, I don't know who's going to come in. Who's going to change what I've done? I mean,
it's usually over the top until it happens to you and then it's
right, okay, yeah, okay.
So the issue is, where's the middle of the road? That's what we have to see, where the middle of the road.
Okay, and that's all I'm asking. Let's just, it's, and there's 5 people on the board, so I just want response from everybody. Okay, super, thank you, appreciate it.
Anybody else with public input? By elimination? No. All right. Mail. DEA mail.
Oh, I'm going to go.
Bill.
Thanks, everybody.
Bill, Sue's obviously passionate about this.
Yep.
Can we expedite that answer?
Brendan's going to be here tomorrow.
Okay.
We're going to chat.
Okay.
Yep. Email from Kevin Roach in regarding a funding of NOx reduction. Does anybody have any idea what that is?
What is it?
NOx reduction. Any idea what that is? Okay.
It's basically the hydrocarbons going up through. They've got scrubbers in the stack.
Yeah.
And it's expensive. They got to get the temperature just right. They got certain things they add to do that.
What's it for? What are you using that?
They do. They burn everything.
They burn. It's nitrogen oxide.
Oh, but how does that affect us?
It's part. We're a member community in Eco Maine.
I get it. Okay.
So all the fun. That's how that all works.
So they're just informing us that this is being asked of them.
Yes.
they want, obviously it's going
to
cost.
If anybody would like to read the documents here for your approval.
Mass Public Waste.
I do get it. I understand what you're getting at. I was just kind of curious why we were getting it.
Because we're a member community, and I mean, waste is a very expensive, complicated thing. And EcoMaine itself has a shelf life. And the whole, he's in a juggling act all the time, especially right now. Recyclables are worth zero. Sometimes he'll have stacks of baled cardboard, right? No home for it. He can't legally burn it and make electricity with it. He's got to find a place for it. So it's a fairly involved, complicated thing he does up there. The meetings are in the middle of the day. I used to enjoy going. I just can't. And we really, really need some representation up there to do that, because we all know how much it costs to run the damn transfer station. Our recycling used to be free. It's $35 a ton now. So, I mean, this potentially could be really expensive for us going forward. That's all I'm saying. It's an important part of what we do. That's all.
Yeah. So what it looks like is it's a $1.5 million price tag for this technology for the NOx reduction for their air emissions. Yeah. So they're looking for trying to find the money. So these letters here are just kind of pretty much there to Pingree. Congresswoman Pingree, Representative Senator King, and Senator Collins. So he's looking anywhere and everywhere for money.
Yeah.
Is what he's doing to fund it.
Yeah.
And these are all the member communities.
Yeah. Before he tags us another $30-$40 a ton on waste to fund it. Mm-hmm. You know, anything we can do to help that creativity would be good.
I think this is one we should watch.
Yeah, it's really. It's
going to affect our tonnage, you watch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It'll affect the price big time.
Yes, yes. I mean, thank the good Lord we're tied into a trucking contract right now, even though it's got an escalator.
Okay, you guys all set on that?
Yep.
Right. We've got a letter from Shelley Willen Winchenbach, which I believe she works for Charter Communications, and that they have given us a preliminary cost for cable connections on Brock Road, Walker Road, Davis Road, Liberty Way, Blessings Way, Boyden Lane, Belridge Trail, Sear Drive, Walker Dean Road, CC Road, Pierce's Way, and Stallion Lane. So, Brock Road is roughly $29,000 to hook up, give everybody a place to hook up to cable TV, internet, I should say. Walker Road is $116,000. The other group of roads that I read there is $104,000. So $248,379 to pick up 59 homes for internet. So this can come from ARPA funds. It can come under collect me from the State of Maine grant program. Those are the two areas that we can look for funding for that. Yes, John.
Did I read this wrong? This says the town's cost share would be roughly $130,000. Yeah. Under the total project cost?
Yes, you are correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, you are correct. So the town's cost would be roughly $130,000. But then again, Collect Maine from the State of Maine grant program could fund that. Mm-hmm. We could also use ARPA funds to fund that. That's already been pre-approved. Just so you're aware.
And that is only for 59 homes?
That's 59 homes and businesses, yes. Yes, John.
Would that, as I understand this, Reed, this really definitely is my area, everybody knows. Would this make the whole town covered?
That's kind of a matter of interpretation.
That would be no.
Okay, thank you.
So, in other words, for what we're aware of, probably, but we know there's places we're not aware of, and we don't know how to reach those people to find out what we need. We've been trying to get the word out everywhere we can for people to let us know if they have internet connectivity. Now, understand internet connectivity, okay? This is to provide an access point within a reasonable distance. That doesn't mean that the people won't have to pay a fee to do a hookup, but it will put it in close proximity, so it should not be cost prohibitive.
And what kind of charge are they looking at? Are they gonna, you know, are they gonna play the game? Well, you know, it cost us $260,000, and therefore your take is X.
Yeah,
or they'll just say their portion of it, which would be, you know, $130,000, and they're going to end up getting whacked for, you know, $1,000, $1,200, $1,500, and I've been quoted personally $15,000. You know, I mean, it's foolish.
For you.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Foolish.
Because your connect point is so far away.
Yeah.
It's out on Clark's Woods Road.
But what I'm saying is, you know, you enter into something like this, thinking. You know, they should just be hooked up and pay a monthly bill.
Well, I guess, you know, Walker
instead,
Road,
they're going to end up still paying, I think.
Walker Road's probably a good one to look at. My understanding is this is going to provide cable internet at the poles on the Walker Road.
Yeah.
So if you've got a 1,000-foot driveway, you're probably going to have to pay a fee to hook up at the Walker Road for the distance. If you live 200 feet away from the Walker Road, it'll either be the normal installation fee or the free fee, but it shouldn't be over $100. Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'm just trying to get this in here, okay?
Yeah, no, it's all right.
Okay, so Brock Road's on here.
Yes.
Okay, Pleasant Point off Brock Road.
Yes.
How does that, is that one of these that we got?
I would have to ask about Pleasant Point. I'm not sure.
Okay, what about the Causeway and the Williams Road out through that way and down over the backside of Munganum?
Does Causeway have internet now?
I do not know.
Because I have not heard from anybody.
I believe they do.
Yeah. It's pretty much Brock Road.
Okay, Williams Road's good.
As far as
Cable stops, that new Nason Landscaping Company. I just bought that 75-acre track. He wants power and cable. Well, cable and power stop a pole before his property.
Well,
there's no cable all the way to Bunker.
We went back and forth on Brock Road because they said, oh, it's this amount. And it's like, well, does that include Bunganut Beach? Where's Bunganut Beach?
That tells you
it's on the Brock Road. Well, it's not on the map. I said, yes, it is. You just got to know what you're looking for. Now, what about the ball field? What about the ball field? Is that going to have connectivity? Well, I don't see it on the map. So it's like, you got to go back. We want it the entire length of the road that everybody that can connect to it can connect. And that's what this price is supposed to be.
What's bizarre, Bill, as you mentioned, CC Road, that's a government private road through the woods. Our snowmobile trails on it. That's what blows my mind that's on there.
Blessings Way is a private road.
Yeah. I mean, there's CC Road is in the woods.
It's no houses on it.
No, it's on government land. It's not even a road. It's an access logging road. I can't understand why that would even be on there.
I can ask the questions. Yeah. I mean, every time we get an email back, I say, well, what about this? What about that? And then it's another week. Yes, John.
Yeah, to Dave's point on the individual hookup, could we get an example of what those prices would be?
Yeah, how much would they furnish? That'd be a good question.
Right, right. You know, and
yeah, no, that's a good question.
Yes, right. Absolutely. And then we. And I don't even know what's reasonable in an addition charge. I mean, when you say reasonable, do you mean like a couple $100? You mean $500?
No, I'm thinking of, normally home hookups, what, $70, $69? And businesses either starts at $99.
Okay.
That's what I would consider reasonable.
Okay.
Relatively reasonable.
Is that?
I think anybody that doesn't have cable, if they had to pay a couple $100 to get cable, would probably gladly do it.
Yeah.
Versus, if they can afford it.
Versus $15,000.
But you know, the question on Pleasant Point Roads of Woodrum, because that's been in the discussion, and the way I'm just remembering it, I thought it included the whole road, but I will have to check.
Yeah.
Right. I will check. That's a very good question.
And then you've got that whole area where San Juan used to live, off Williams Road down towards Bundana. I've got no idea what's going on down there.
We provided a list of Spectrum of all the roads in town, private and public.
Now, and Timmy's on Brock Road, and I thought he had internet.
Well, one end of it does, the other end does not.
Our end has it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other end doesn't. It only comes in past the first place that raises the cows by the fire pond. You know what I'm talking about, Matt?
Yeah, yeah, Rollins.
Rollins.
Yeah.
That's where it stops.
Oh, no kidding.
And it has to, and it doesn't pick up again until all the way past Pleasant Point Road.
Wow.
There's nothing there, because there's no poles there either.
Right.
So, power stops even.
But it's not to say that these folks aren't going without internet. Because you can get internet over the phone line.
That's correct.
Through consolidated.
Right.
Right, right. And I know a couple of families that have internet, and it's not through Spectrum.
Right. That's my only option where I'm at. I don't have Time Warner. Time Warner doesn't come off the DA Hill Road. It was back in 2006, it was $1,200 or something to run it from the DA Hill Road 300 feet up my driveway to the nearest pole. So we chose to go with.
So,
fair point.
So that's like a whole different thing. So there is internet available for these people.
If there's phone lines.
If you have a phone line.
And you have to be within 2.5 miles of the switching station. So you're good, because the switching station's right here. I know at my house in the Buzzell Road in Dayton, we're 2.7 miles from the switching station, and they can't guarantee us internet through the phone line.
What road do you live on, Pat?
Partridge Way off the Dayton Road.
And you don't have it?
I don't have Spectrum.
So how come Partridge Way's not on there?
That's a good question. Like I said, we provided all the streets. They told us what had access and what did not. This is from Charter Spectrum.
So I wonder what they classify as having service and not having service. Like you said, you're what, 1,200 feet, Matt?
No, $1,200, $300.
I wonder how far away cable is from your house.
Yeah.
You see, they might classify, well, if the customer wants to pay, our power's like you do. It's out on Clark's Woods Road. You do have cable. Just going to cost you to get it to your house.
See, and I don't know if this happens elsewhere in the town, but the original house that sat at a Deer Hill address that the property was broken off to make Partridge Way, their electricity and cable and phone come in off Spikehorn in Hunter's Way. So do they look it up and say, oh, this Spectrum
right,
on
yeah.
Partridge Way,
sure.
But where his comes in one way and ours comes in the other way, we don't know.
There's a big block on Brock Road, man. That's a big stretch. It has nothing. No power or there's nothing. There's no poles. There's nothing there.
So why can't we revisit the another accurate list and see if there are any other options.
In other words, we just made a whole bunch more work for ourselves.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Guaranteed.
Well, that's the way it's been.
$130,000 of money and not solve the problem.
Right.
I agree.
I
items mark on the calendar, we agree.
Well, I just think if one road is a private way and they're going to put it in as part of this, they should do it for anyone that's on a private way. It should be included.
I think the issue you're going to find too, Bill, is if you get engineering involved, the areas that don't have any poles, now it's a whole other ball of wax. Mm-hmm. Now you got to set poles to get cable. So it's not just as simple as pulling wire. Rock Road's a prime example. There's no poles down through there.
Well, that's probably the one. Well, they gave it $28,762 to guarantee that everybody on Rock Road has connected.
Is Rock Road underground?
No, there's nothing underground.
What, did they hang the wires hanging on trees?
Well, you come from two different ends.
Right? It's fed both ways, and it stops. Like ours comes off of 202 and goes all the way down through.
Yeah.
But it stops before, it stops right at Pleasant Point Road. Then there's nothing all the way through Bunganut, all the way past the causeway, all the way back up to Rollins is where it starts again. So there's that whole...
Two different sets. So
you power it comes from one comes off of South Waterboro Road, ours comes off of 202, and then that big block in the middle has nothing.
And there's no houses in between those
things. No, but there's also no poles. So what happens if building lots get sold, yeah, and they're going to, because that 75 acres just got sold. Right. So somebody's going to have poles put in.
Well, then they would have to do that from CMP anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
But you can't get cable where there's no poles, I guess is my argument.
Yeah, but poles go right down by Bunganut. Poles go right down through there.
They stop at Bunganut.
That could be. So we'll ask the questions. Not a problem. We'll go back to Spectrum and ask. Good question. Okay. There's a large package from York County Shelter Programs Appropriation Request. I have not read, I'll have to read through it. It's quite a few pages. But if anybody wants to read it, it's here.
They're looking for $1,000.
What they look for every year.
Do we have a budget?
No.
I don't think we did any charities last year, did we?
Lifelight?
No,
Lifelight. Lifelight's the only one. Yeah. Yeah.
Stewards of anybody's money.
Which one's that?
York County Shelters. My personal opinion, that's cool to you guys.
We also have some general assistance program updates, another package here if anybody's interested. We have to look through that and make sure we're covering what the state requires. Okay. I don't see any written complaints anywhere. No?
Give it time.
What's that?
Give it time.
It's just one on that section. Okay.
Bill?
Yes.
Is this one in your packet also?
Which one's that?
Main Public Radio?
Yes, I did. In public radio.
So, what do you say we didn't support them?
Historically, what we used to do, we used to have requests every year. Charities and when we did the budget, we do a blanket, 10, 12 grand a year, something like that. And then some of these charities, you do the research on 78% of every dollar runs the machine. Mm-hmm. So the original theory of that several years ago was, why don't we have linemen people helping linemen? We did something like that in the budget last year. I can't remember what the figure was. We did $5,000 or $10,000 of an emergency fund. Because the driving force for that, in my mind, was we had a huge fire on
William Road.
We had no money we could grab to put the people up for a night, to clothe them, to do anything. I think you were involved in a GoFundMe page. And so what we did, and by having our own money with our own rules, it's much like the oil fund. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's where we put some of that money. And that was the general theme of thought several years ago when we stopped. LifeLight was the one we thought was, that saves lives, period. And that's why we went that way at that time. That's the history of it.
Thank you. The other part of it was that if you go by state guidelines of who can qualify for funds, okay, you're going to have a foot in the grave before you qualify and not have a penny in your name. So this avenue was, okay, this person doesn't qualify for the state stuff, but they really do need the help, and we want to help. And that gave us the flexibility to do that through the same channel as the general assistance program.
Okay.
But it was a separate thing totally.
And some people, maybe they're in a situation for lack of $1,000, they ain't going to lose their house.
Good. Good explanation, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. I got to make a pit stop.
So they're looking for money, too. That's what they
yes.
Okay. There's like 12 or 13 categories. If you look in the town book, it's under social services.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole list of stuff of people that ask for money every year.
I think the nail in the coffin was one year we voted to give it to everybody, and at the end of the year, we still had half a dozen places and hadn't even contacted us.
We had to chase
get
them.
The funds.
Yeah, so we started saying no more.
So it's like, yeah. Okay. All right. Minutes of the November 30th meeting.
Number 30?
The 30th. That is correct.
November 30th. I move we accept them. I'll second.
Thank you. Is there any more questions on that?
Say yes.
November 30th minutes. We have a motion and a second to accept them as written.
Could I just read them real quick, please? I think I already read them,
Should we have a way of... I won't say it, we approve them, and they're our open items. They'll always transfer over to here. And I'm not saying, I saw a couple things in there, this open-ended stuff that we discussed.
Old business that we didn't satisfy.
Satisfied.
I think that's a great idea to just drop them right into old business on the next agenda. Automatic.
Yeah,
because
we do bypass a lot of stuff unknowingly.
We do
unwillingly.
And we don't get if we're not writing things down, it's always the minutes are always a little late. Not from your perspective, but we get them now and then.
I
forgot to do that, or we need to have a way of a tickler file or something on here. Say, okay, we had unfinished business. We need to make some of that. Thank you.
And
well, I know I don't. should we vote on the ARPA committee? That was my question about the minutes. I don't believe we did.
No.
No.
I probably should. I know we discussed it, what we were going to do. And you talked about general people, which made sense, everybody.
Yeah.
Right? But I don't believe there was an official vote on that.
There wasn't.
We need to do that, I believe.
So we can do that tonight?
So I make a motion that we include...
We've got one going first, let's finish what we're on.
We need to finish minutes.
No, we need to finish this.
I made the motion.
You made the motion.
I said the initial reading.
Are you all set with the third?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You all set with it?
Yeah.
Okay, all those in favor?
There we go.
5-0. Okay, if you want to go ahead, Dave?
No, we'll do the minutes.
4-0.
I'm sorry, yeah, it was 4-0.
Do the next minutes.
Yeah, let's get rid of the minutes.
So moved on the next minutes.
I'll second it.
Any discussion?
Two things in the same night, Dave.
What?
Two things in the same night.
All those in favor?
To look at.
4-0. Okay. Before we go any further, Dave, go ahead.
I'd like to make a motion to form the ARPA committee to include Chief Matt. Chief Brad. Treasurer Jeanette.
Yeah.
You.
Right here.
There's one more.
Jeanette, Dave, Tom, Brad, and Matt from the fire department.
That's it, yes.
And we can accept applications for two from the general public.
Yes.
At which we can approve it at a different meeting.
Yes.
Is there a second on that?
Yeah, yeah, no, I just wanted...
No, it's good.
Yeah.
I think it's good. All those in favor?
Do we have a second?
Yes, Tom, second.
Okay.
All those in favor? Okay.
That was one of those outstanding activities, I'd say.
Yeah.
Accounts payable warrant number 31 for the year 2022 in the amount of $44,689.92.
Who do we have, the treasurer of the state of Maine on payroll?
What do you expect?
That's what we need the office for.
So moved.
Second.
Any more discussion?
About three.
Any more discussion? All those in favor? Dave? 4-0. Payroll warrant number 30 in the amount of $26,526.14.
So moved.
Second.
Any more discussion? All those in favor? 4-0. Payroll warrant number 32 in the amount of $20,791.82. No, we did the one on 23.
So moved.
Waiting a second.
Second.
Any more discussion? All those in favor? 4-0. Thank you. We don't have any particular unfinished business or department reports because they're all coming in next Monday. So.
Well, I mean, Sue had a department request.
Yeah, she did that in the first meeting.
I would, it's on my unfinished business. we need to vote on the resignations of the two people that resigned.
I would prefer to wait until the next meeting, if you don't mind.
Okay. Open.
I have one, Bill.
Yes.
Oscar Littlefield Road. How are we doing on that?
Have you got anything back from anybody on Oscar Littlefield Road?
We got two or three originally, but then they revised something because there was some typo or something. So when they revised the letter, they included a self-addressed envelope. So now the townspeople are getting a notarized, mailing it up themselves. I've only seen one or two people come in so far.
Did those get sent out registered mail?
I believe so, by the attorneys, yeah.
So we don't have any response?
We don't know who, because they were going through the attorney.
What's the final widths and all that we talked about doing on that?
I think we made a motion.
24 feet, wasn't it?
Of 24.
12 feet either side of the settlement.
And then did we not modify it, or was that
the modification? It was 40.
It was 40.
And we dropped it to 24 for right away.
Right.
That ain't going to work, is it?
What's that?
Is that going to work?
With
oh, yeah.
How? Because you got to have 20-foot road.
No, you don't. I should have brought the paper in the Patty had. Because it's an existing road. It doesn't have to meet the
current standards.
That's correct, because it's existing and it's not an add-on.
Court, you need 20 feet.
The NFPA standard requires 20 feet.
So there you go.
Doesn't have 20 feet now. And they go down it. Didn't have 20 feet on Chapel Shore.
When you say you need 20 feet, total width or one lane?
Fire department access, 20 feet.
Total width.
Total width.
So 24 feet is going to give us what we need.
24 feet of right-of-way.
Yeah.
It's not 20 feet of pavement.
You got to have 2 feet of shoulder. How much? I mean, 20 feet of pavement.
16 to 18 is the tops are going to get down through there. Yeah. Some places you can get 20, but you know some places where...
I understand.
From what Brad Moran explained, because of the circumstances of this road, the fact that it is a private road that we have maintained for 40 plus years, that we have a responsibility to take care of it. So whatever we can get out of it legally is better than where we're at now, because at least we will have the control of it.
The only reservation I got from that is 10 years from now, say we got another private, we got another road, or let's say somebody's going to build a road, or what? Is that precedent going to bite?
No, because if it's a new road going in,
okay,
it has to meet the zoning requirements, right, which is, I believe it's 50 feet, 50 foot right-of-way, and it has to be paved.
Okay.
To our standards, so we should
and
not be in the...
The only thing, John, is that the town council basically stated that that has been basically a town road.
I understand all of that.
But I can agree with your concern only if the chief says that it's a safety hazard or he has an issue with it. Then we have to re-look at it.
Yeah.
What say you, Matt?
To me, I need to do more research. I mean, I think my problem would be the amount of roads we do have in town that probably don't meet that. We're legal with those.
Those are private roads, right?
Right. So.
You know, some of them are town roads. We got town roads that we maintain that don't meet those requirements.
Why do we maintain them?
Because they were accepted years ago,
yeah,
before we had those requirements.
Sure, road. Okay.
Yeah.
Blueberry Hill on the top of the hill, John. Yeah. 16.
I understand.
16 feet of pavement.
I think the other thing to consider is, I don't think those houses are leaving. We're not evacuating people from their homes. So if what you are trying to do is going to make the road safer and more passable,
yeah,
then I think it outweighs...
It's going to do those two things you said, plus it's going to help us minimize the expense.
Oh yeah, save us on maintenance. Yeah.
Can you...
I'd be worried, personally. I mean, I don't know why, and I don't know the history, but why did the town take ownership of the road that didn't meet standards back then? We can't answer that question. Right. The question of that...
I don't think there were standards back then.
And
right.
Very well. But taking ownership today of something that doesn't meet standard...
The town's outlook now is different than it was years ago. And a lot of roads that probably shouldn't have been taken care of were. And it is what it is. So, you know, I mean, I can think of part of Oscar Littlefield Road. I don't know if you got more than 12 feet because there's a garage right on the line already. And then you get trees on the other side. But it is, it's no smaller than it is right now, and it's going to make it safer and better.
I think with the little discussion that I've been involved in this, which is basically time, I think knowing that it is what it is, and the town has accepted the road, anything you're planning to do to it's only going to make that road better and safer for us.
But can you make time to go by there and give us your assessment for the file?
Absolutely.
So 10 years from now, we
document
have something.
Yep.
Okay, absolutely.
I guess the question
Brad,
is, Bill,
can you can you go with them?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Point it out.
How much longer are we going to let this go on if we've only gotten 3 letters back out of 30-some-odd people?
After the first year, I'll talk with Brad Moore and see what's going on. Because... we have one or two people down there that I'm sure, if it was not the winter, would be able to facilitate getting that done faster.
Oh, I know.
I think a lot of it's because it's winter and people are calling.
Yeah, people out there.
You know, so I think we just got to be a little patient, and we need to take advantage of the people there that are willing to facilitate getting it done, and let them make the rounds with everybody.
I'm not familiar with what's beyond there. Because that's another one of these roads goes from town road to private road. What's beyond private road?
And I'm Mike Curvale's, I believe.
Yeah, he does.
But if you go down...
There's a
just a one-lane path.
There's a waterway system, John. As you get down past the snowplow turnaround,
yep.
There's two more houses around 11th
right.
Bend, and then there's a small brook that separates that other parcel that Mike lives on. It's totally separate property. The road ends. It ends at
all
your
right.
driveway.
And where there's the brook, I mean, man, that's pricey getting across the brook and all that stuff ain't going to happen.
It's never been crossed
right.
before.
All right.
No.
All right. If you were telling me there was 200 acres of prime land beyond it.
No, there's houses on the other side.
But they got to go the other way.
Yeah. They come out on Mike's driveway.
Yep.
Out there.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. I just hate making mistakes.
It's kind of like being one mistake after another. That's why we're at.
Oh, I understand that.
Okay. Anything else on that, gentlemen? Okay, we're back to the fire department equipment and the ARPA funds.
We have the right to do it?
Yes.
I make a motion we do it.
Going to do the first three parts?
Yep.
Okay, do you want to do the second two?
Yep.
Do you want to do one motion or two?
I think two.
Okay, so the first three articles. We got to hurry up.
Wow.
It's over with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good
yeah.
note.
We're going to be coming the way
well. Look at the lights.
I'm right in the middle of this.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, either one of us got to go through you.
Your motion is for the roughly $111,000 in change.
Correct.
Yep.
And I use that loosely, change, for the first three parts of the fire department request.
Can we get the exact amount from you, please?
Sure.
So, because it's already in my spreadsheet, the total amount, 50% of the total amount is $158,461.73 in change.
That's for the both pieces that we're talking about.
That's both pieces.
Okay.
So
the first three
is what?
What the Dayton already voted on.
Well, it's in a spreadsheet. I'm not good with spreadsheets. $111,550.
Okay. So moved.
Second.
Any more discussion? All those in favor? 4-0. Okay, Dave, what part two?
John, that's you.
I would move that we vote to fund Pat two.
Stretcher and the
The stretcher and the lift and the CPR machine, whatever's on Matt's list, if Dayton agrees to fund it.
And what's our share of that?
An additional $54,412.
Is that the price of, with the inflation put in there that you had in here, or is that the current price?
That's the current price with 1 year January 1st inflation.
Okay. Is that both 54 counts?
54 is 50% of the total.
So it's 54.
For the mechanical CPR devices and the power load, 54. Okay. Just the power load is 26.
So that's the stretcher. Then the CPR is
another $18,868 per tap.
I'll say.
Did you get that number, Donna?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there any more discussion? All those in favor? 4-0. One more motion, please.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second. All those in favor? 4-0. Thank you very much. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys, for coming.
Be safe. Yeah. Thank you for doing that as soon as you did.
Yeah, Brad, I'm pretty well open this week, whenever you're...
June or so?
Matt, you think you can get the order in on that stuff, like, tomorrow to beat the inflation?
To seal it in.
Well,
lay on it?
So I can't do the Lucas device or the mechanical CPR or the stretcher because Dayton hasn't voted.
Oh, okay. Is there a way?
Whoa, wait a minute. They put the pressure on us, we put the pressure on them.
Well, wait a minute.